Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Will receive me. Just when you prayed at the end, Jason, you know, the Psalm 27 has that wonderful verse, kind of, you know, even if my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. It's a beautiful verse in that Psalm 27 there. Just wonderful to know that there is one above all, our Heavenly Father, who will receive us. And it's great, and it's good to see you. Ebola, as well, we're praying for Shannon, and we know as parents that our hearts ache. So this is family, we gather around, we pray. So we're going to pray today. We serve an amazing God, a God of angel armies, who has got our children, who loves them more than we do, who has got them in the palm of his hands. We need to know that as parents. When we fret, we do what we can. When we can't do what we want, we do what we can. And we can pray and let the Lord, the God of angel armies, do what he does best. We don't know how long that's going to go. That's his area. But we know that he's a good father. He's a great God, and that's all I need to know, often. And so we're going to pray, and then just consider a few verses together, and let's see. I pray the Spirit of God just melts your heart this morning, and moves into that dependent mode of receiving, of looking to, of needing, of not dismissing, of not being cold, of not being in control. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you. That you are a good father. It might not be a good image, but we thank you that, Lord, you are an amazing heavenly father, unlike any other. There is no other. We want to worship you this morning and ask that you get the glory and the praise from our time together. There's so many aching. We particularly lift up Bola and pray, Holy Spirit, you'd give her your comfort, and Shannon right now, that you would just do what you do best where the clinicians and everything else stops, Lord, you move in. We pray you do a deep work. And that, Lord, we'll be here praising God in this whole assembly. For those who need a touch, even when our children get older, we think of Rachel and Trevor. Lord, for Naomi, who's struggling and battling. She's a warrior. But, Lord, we thank you that in the midst of this, she has in some way rediscovered yourself. And I pray that will go deeper. That, Lord, she would truly really just walk personally in your way. Thank you for the cross, that you've made it possible that no matter how far we've gone, you call us and draw us. And the cross has made it possible that we can know you. And that cost your only son. So Lord, we thank you that you understand us. We have a great high priest who is able to empathize. So we pray today, Holy Spirit, that you'd take away anything from the speaker that is not helpful or useful. And that those things that are left would just thrill our hearts, would cause us to stop in our tracks, would put a spring in our step, would cause us to leave here more willing and able to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John's Gospel, chapter 1. I don't know how this mic's going to go. It should be okay. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 say this. Yet to all who did receive him, that is Jesus, did receive him. To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Is it not wonderful? Born of God. Wonderful thing. It was recently, last week in L.A., in Los Angeles. That's not, I'm not just saying a story from LA because I've been and you think woo. But I really enjoyed the time because I'm also doing some research apart from being in LA, investigating disciple making and talking to people there. Please read the BN today. It's got a kind of statement around why we're doing these sort of things. But it was great to meet people who had a what we'd say a few quid, maybe a few dollars there. Because part of my research that I'm doing is a sense of what's happened to the rich young man. The rich young man has run away in Luke 18 and never been seen again. And we're very good at churches at meeting welfare, and we should do that. It's God's mandate and heartbeat to meet the needs of our communities. But actually, what about those who don't have any obvious needs, yet we all know they have a gap in their life, they need Jesus? So actually, I used the opportunity to meet people in cafes around Hollywood Boulevard and Sunset Boulevard and Hermosa Beach and all those awful places. And it was really interesting, because I was able to chat to a guy, and there's one particular guy I met there. He was very slick. He was about in his 30s. He was from New Zealand. And I met this chap. And normally, as you're there in this sort of restaurant area, and you get the normal conversations, hi, what do you do? And he was a kind of app software guy, and he was doing software apps for like security gates and things like that. He's very, very, and he lives in New Zealand and goes to LA once a month. It's a terrible job. And so he was there, and it was having a chat, and so he said, we was chatting away, and he says, well, what do you do then? Which I always found interesting. And I said, well, I'm a church pastor. He says, no way. I know everyone else says that as well, but he says, no way. I said, yeah, absolutely. And we sort of said, have you got a family? And I said, yeah. I said, I've got a wife. We celebrate our 35th wedding anniversary soon, and two daughters. One's 28, and the other one's 30, married. And we've just got our first grandchild who's adopted. He's amazing, but I love him. He's a gorgeous. He's just a lovely little lad. And this guy says, oh, my. I'm adopted. Me and my brother were adopted. And I said, that's incredible. I said, and what's more, 3 years ago, we found my wife's adopted sister. He goes, no way. I said, yes, absolutely. I told him the story of how we found Christine. And then a little bit of the story of Logan. And he was absolutely transfixed. And I said to him, Matt, do you know what I've discovered above that, though? What's really amazing? He says, what? I said, the word adoption is in the Bible. And I said, I discovered that adoption is the highest form of relationship you could ever, ever enter into, because it's God's chosen method to love us. And he completely melted. To him, I sensed he was kind of apologizing. And saying, well, yeah, you know, my parents, you know, they couldn't have kids. And so they adopted us. It was kind of them kind of thing. But no. I said, wow, that's amazing. You're adopted. You know, that's a brilliant thing, because it's God's chosen highest form of relationship. Isn't that a blessing? And it was just this wonderful conversation when he understood the father heart of God in Scripture. He didn't fall on his knees and pray, but I gave him the website and he said, I'm going to listen to that. From New Zealand. We don't know what God will do with that. But I found that interesting, because often we can spend so much time trying to work out how we can develop this relationship. What have we got to do to make God love us more? And that comes afterwards. See, the cross is the starting gun. And we can talk about being a disciple of Jesus and have for a long time, but we've got to get into relationship. And God himself has made that possible through this wonderful adoption process. His initiative, he comes, he sends his son. But we can try and learn. We can try in all sorts of ways. Well, I'm going to get to know God better by learning. There was a guy called Nicodemus in the same book, John chapter 3. He was, even Jesus called him Israel's teacher. And he said to Jesus, you know, he was having this conversation, and Jesus said, you know, Nicodemus, you're smart, but unless you're born again, unless you become like a little baby, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And this bright guy, this academic, Nicodemus, scratched his head and said, born again? What, you mean physically I've got to do this? And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you're Israel's teacher. Unless you're born again of the Spirit of God, Or maybe it's about doing things religiously. I mentioned the rich young man just now. He really wanted to know. And he came in Luke 18 and he said, I want to join the party. I want to be involved. And Jesus says, he gives him a whole list and says, you've heard about these commandments. And this rich young man, we call him, said, I've done all those things since I was a child. But there was something else in the way. There was something else that had stolen the rich young man's heart, and the clue's in his title, riches. And Jesus says, sell everything you've got. Make me the boss. And then come and follow me. And Mark tells us, and the others tell us, that the rich young man couldn't do it. He was looking for something else to do. What must I do to inherit eternal life? What is it that I have got to do for you to accept me more? And Jesus said, well, okay, if that's the game you want to play, sell everything you have. And it wasn't enough. Because it's about the heart thing. Paul puts it in adoption language. I love it. Romans 8 verse 15. Paul talking to believers, maybe who've been suppressed, who are thinking somehow that God's forgotten them. Father, never. The spirit you received, Romans 8, 15, does not make you slaves, so you're constantly doing to please. Does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, daughtership. And by the Holy Spirit, we can now cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Heavenly Father. The Spirit you've received. You've received. You didn't earn it. You've got it. You've received the Spirit of God. Adoption. Look at that. The Father embracing. Adoption represents the highest form of love relationship. This is why Jesus was at pains with Nicodemus to explain his need to become a child. Nicodemus, unless you're born again, unless you get rid of your academic hang-ups, you write theology, whatever it is, you're not going to be an inch nearer to me. You're just going to think you're right all the time, and you're not going to really walk with me like a daddy, like a father. Why don't we start walking with him like a daddy? A bit embarrassed about that language? Much rather be the, have all the knowledge. Nothing wrong with that in context. Need that. I like study, you know that. Nicodemus, unless you become like a child, be born again. You don't need all the answers, Nicodemus, to walk with the Father. You'll trust him. And it's why Paul, with the churches at Rome, the church at Galatia, the church at Ephesus, expresses our relationship with the Father in what language? Adoption language. And he places this wonderful adoption language alternative against the coldness of the law that says if you do this, somehow you might please God. You see, we can often trudge around legalism. This is how it is. Our academia, our knowing. When Jesus said it simply, you know, he tried to give them a picture. We had a picture this morning. It's good to have a visible picture. Matthew 18 verse 2. Jesus did this. He was teaching, maybe thought they needed a picture. Verse 2, he called a little child to him. Okay, let's put one of the least in our kind of peer group in the first century, a child. Let's put that person at the front. He called a little child to him, Matthew 18, 2. And placed the child amongst them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change, stop being in control, stop being the big adult, the big theologian, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child, whoever takes that stance with me, this lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it wonderful? What might taking a lowly position of a child look like? Asking why is okay. Are we there yet? But when our girls were small, I never remember them saying to me and Leslie, can we really pay the electric bill this month? Is the light going to go on when I switch it on? Is there going to be food on the table? We were blessed to be able to provide. Because they just trusted. Later on, it becomes the bank of mum and dad. Sometimes. Not now. Praise God. But we heard the heart yearnings of Becky and Morris, how they saw the reflection of God at great personal cost, I can tell you. That's the headline. At great personal cost. And what's really wonderful about Logan at this stage is completely, probably unaware, but secure in knowing that he is totally loved. Unaware of the heartache of the father and the mum, but aware his love for sure. When I scared him this morning with my fight on that mat, rushing towards him to grab his feet, he rushed to the father. It was great to see. Scary granddad. You see, the adoption process was quite something, costly, heart-wrenching. And in order for our adoption to be sealed in Jesus, it cost God his most precious thing. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It cost God everything. Salvation is free but not cheap. And I'm thrilled with that. And here in just two verses, John tells us how this relationship is. As we embrace and accept and receive the Father's love. Yet to all who did receive him, John 1:12, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So can I just bring this down with a few thoughts? Because we see here the Father's offer of adoption for every single one of us here. Every single one without fail. The Father's offer of adoption is for you and I. And we see firstly that adoption, it does not discriminate at all. It said to all, did you see that? In verse 12, to all who did receive him, to all, everybody. The adoptive father heart of God does not discriminate against your track record. It doesn't matter if you've got previous. It doesn't matter if you've rejected him. It doesn't matter how you've done. A royal stuff up, whatever you've done in your life, God's adoptive heart is for you. It's amazing. It does not discriminate to all. But it's something that is not passive. This isn't a universalism. Well, the Father heart of God is just going to let everyone in at the end of time. That's not what we're talking here. I love seeing Logan respond to Becky and Morris. And it says here, the Father heart of God, adoption demands a response to all who did receive him. Did you? That to all who did receive him. Can you remember a time in your life? And I want to kind of weed out, in a sense, the church people. There was a time in my life when I knew that I was a rebel. I knew that I was a sinner. I knew I needed forgiveness. I knew that I needed someone outside of me. And that when I understood that God himself, the Father, provided that at the cross, there was a time I realized I needed adopting. And I said, Lord Jesus, please, Forgive me. Give me a new life, a new heavenly home, and be with me now. I want to walk your direction, not mine. Has that been that time for you when you responded? I'm not talking about coming to church. I think people who come to church since they were an egg find this very difficult because they say, well, I never really had a time. There comes a heart-wrenching time when the realization of the great cost breaks us into. And it fuels my worship. And I say, thank you, Father. It might not be a Damascus road, but it will be something that just fuels me to say, wow. Wow, I want to receive all you have for me. To all, indiscriminate, that's you, who received him. It demands a response. Who believe in his name. Have you believed in the work of Jesus at the cross? Do you believe in the resurrection? Do you believe that he's conquered death? Do you believe that he's coming back for you to establish his kingdom through his people? But it's relational as well. This isn't just a kind of faith code, believing a list of statements on a church statement of faith. It says it's relational as well. To those who did believe in him, who received him, who believed in his name. I'm a Christian. The clue's in the word, because I have Christ in. I have received Jesus. I know Jesus Christ. He's alive today. He lives in my heart by the power of his spirit. I love and follow Jesus. That's why I'm a believer. Coming here every week does not make me a believer. It's relational, those who did receive him. And it offers security as we come to the Father, heart of God. He gave the right to all those who did receive him. He gave the right. I have the right. Isn't it wonderful? I have the right to say, he is my heavenly Father because of what Jesus has done on the cross. Isn't it wonderful? Wow. Hallelujah. I have the right to call him my Father, not because of what I've done, but because of the cross. Wow, I am a child of God. Yes, I am. And it's nothing I've done. And I want to live in the light of that. And I don't want to let my daddy down. I don't want to let the Heavenly Father, the Holy Father down. I want to live in the light of that as a child of him. Because that is what you are, says John in a later letter. But it's not just a relationship like a pal. It's a divine relationship. To all those who did receive them, he gave the right to be called children of God. This is divine. This is special. This is powerful. This is a wonderful, respectful, but amazing relationship. God himself, the King of glory, saw me. He saw me in the womb. He saw me from a distance. Wow, why would he do that with me? Do you know the Father this morning? Do you know the love of the Father? Are you thinking, well, I don't deserve it, so I've never received it? Can I say, absolutely too right, we don't deserve it, none of us. But receive it with all your heart, because it's freely offered at the cross, and let him grab your soul. And let him hold you and love you, and even if you're wriggling, let him just do it and show you. Isn't he amazing? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad I can praise my Father today. I lost my dad many years ago. Died early, younger than me. And my mum. Others have lost their dads for different reasons. Maybe they just lost the relationship or never had it. But I can praise my Heavenly Father today because he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. He's never going to let me down. His love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. I would have given up on me ages ago, a long time ago. And his love never fails. It seems the harder I wriggle, the tighter he squeezes. It's wonderful, isn't it? And so this glorious adoption doesn't discriminate, demands a response, is relational, offers security, is a divine relationship. Isn't this wonderful? So what isn't it, just as we finish, verse 13? What isn't this relationship? Well, you see, it's not an everyday thing. It's not just having like a friend. It's not a man-made natural thing. Not of natural descent. You're a child of God, but not of a natural descent. It's supernatural. Paul says, Romans 8:15, I read it earlier, by the Spirit who lives in us, we can call him Abba. And that Spirit that cries even faintly within you just allows you to hold on. And I know some of you are holding on today because life's been tough. Life's been really hard. And sometimes it's the faintest we can do, the faintest cry. I won't go through the whole story, but I remember telling you the story once about that couple who adopted and they went to Russia to do that. And it was quite a process, but they didn't have long. And so a couple of weeks, they went out to Russia. They had all the paperwork exercise. They went to Russia and they went to this orphanage. And there was these children, just two of them. And they went into the nursery, and what they found eerie was that it was just completely silent. The babies had stopped crying long ago because it didn't work. No one came. Children are smart. They do what works. And it struck them, and they took them out, these two boys, I believe it was, and they took them back and put them in the cot. And were going to the door to leave and nothing. They expected them to cry and go, oh, come back. Or whatever. Nothing. And they were worried thinking, what's going to happen? We're not going to bond. We're worried now. We've come all the way to Russia. What's going to happen here? And then they were there for 2 weeks and they went back and it happened 3 or 4 times. Nothing. The babies would just be light, sort of kind of nothing. Used to nothing. No embrace. What's an embrace? And they were about to think, well, maybe we've made a mistake. And the last time, they put the children back. And as they got to the door, there was the faintest cry. Faintest cry. And Paul says, it's that very, very faint cry that cries, Abba, Father. In your heart, that the Heavenly Father means he's never going to drop you. He's never going to drop you. We need to get that today. Someone needs to get that here today. He knows your scenario. And he's holding onto that. So it's not about a natural thing. It's an unnatural, not of natural descent. We can be called children of God, not of natural descent. And it's not something that I can make you. Oh, Pastor, can you pray for me? I want to be a Christian. No, I can't. It's about your heart to God himself. Because it's no of human decision, says John. It's not about going to a priest, an intermediary, for there is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. Come to him and say, Lord Jesus, please receive me, a rebel. Nor of human decision. Coming to church all my life with mum and dad doesn't make me a Christian. Praying with the pastor doesn't make me a Christian. Coming to the God the Father through Jesus the Son and giving him the glory for what he's done. That's what makes me right with him. And then walking with him. No, but it's not about being from the right church family or earthly stock either, or of a husband's will. This is kind of a nice range. This is what we're doing. It's not about being in the right circumstances, but born of God, says John. Can I just ask you as we close this out, have you received the indiscriminate, adoptive, secure, divine of the Father this morning? Have you received that? It's wonderful. Completely undeserved. Do you know what it means literally to almost be held in his arms? Even when you wiggle away. Because we want our own thing. To wake up and know that whatever start you might have had in life, that we can be born again by the Spirit of God and brought into adoptive relationship with the Father who loved us so much, he secured our adoption at the cross. I love this. And every time I see these guys, my heart's thrilled. I've got a little song. Forgive me, every so often I pick up the guitar. And in fact, I think Becky and Morris, it'd be great if you could I ask you to come to the front? Because I want to sing this while with Logan there. So I want you to have a picture, just like Jesus had the child amongst us. What I'm going to do is we're going to sing it together, but I'm going to sing it first on my own if I can. It's going to be really hard. I want to sing it to my little lad. And then we're going to sing it together, and Jason's going to take it over. But I just thank you for indulging me on this. Come here. Because it's, hello. I want a relationship with a father like this. You see, hey, Grandad can play the guitar a bit. And what we'll do is I'm going to sing it and then the words will go up and then we'll told when I'm accepted, I'm forgiven. I am fathered by the true and living God. God, this is going to be fun for me. I'll try and do it. Forgive my voice, but it's from the heart. And I want us to imagine. Stop wriggling away. Let the Father, let the heavenly angels sing over you and celebrate your adoption into his family. Come on. So I'm going to go through the first time. Ready? I'm accepted, I'm forgiven, I am fathered by the true God. I'm accepted, no condemnation, I am loved by the true and living God. There's no guilt or fear as I draw near to the Savior and Creator of the world. There is joy and peace as I release my worship to you, O Lord. You want to join me? I'm accepted, I'm forgiven, I am fathered by the true and living God. I'm accepted, no condemnation, I am loved by the true and living God. There's no guilt or fear as I draw near to the Savior and Creator of the world. There is joy and peace as I release my worship to you, O Lord. Bless you. Thank you. I'm just going to pray. The Lord wants us to sit and receive his love. And he wants to sing over us and embrace us. He's for us, not against us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? In all things, Bola, in all things, without a doubt, in family, in stress, in trial. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you that you're the God of the first and second and third and fourth and 70th chances. And that, Lord, we come to you as our Heavenly Father and we cry, Abba, the Spirit inside. Help me to stop wriggling away and running and just trying to just make it more complicated. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would somehow, Holy Spirit, even now as we pray, Lord, there's someone who needs to know they're loved by you absolutely unconditionally here this morning. And that's all of us, but I pray, Lord, that this drives home. And that we leave here not the same because, Lord, we feel loved and embraced. I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for the cross. That the great sacrifice of God's only Son made it possible that I might be a child as well. Thank you, Lord God. We just come to you now openly with our hearts and minds. Completely yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to chat afterwards, I'd love to. If you want to meet a little fella, we're getting off fairly sharpish, but please do see them, and that would be great. But God bless you. So thank you.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.